Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to Matthew, chapter 5, verses 17 through 19, and verses 43 through 48. As I read these words, listen for something new being spoken into your heart and your life at this point on your faith journey. Do not think that I've come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have come not to abolish, but to fulfill. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of a letter will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers and sisters, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Okay, I'm going to list some things, and then I want you to identify the category that links all of them. Are you ready? Okay, here we go. Shirts, pants, shoes, toys, interests, hobbies, friends. Any ideas? Okay, let me do it again. Shirts, pants, shoes, toys, interests, hobbies, friends. What connects those? Come on. Think. It's easy. Things that you outgrow. Okay. Hold that thought. I imagine that today I am to die. I ask for some time to be alone, and I write down for my friends a sort of testament for which the points that follow could serve as chapter titles. Friends, 2 weeks ago, we started this process or journey by considering the prompt, these things I regret about my life. Last week, we followed that up with this, these things I have loved in my life. 20th century Jesuit priest Father Anthony de Mello wanted people to take their lives of faith seriously by confronting those lives candidly and intentionally. So in chapter 1 of his book, Wellsprings, he wrote 16 brief statements that call for a response. We're now 3 weeks into that journey of working our way through this. Last week, it was about those things that bring depth of meaning into our lives, those things that we love. And as we listed our beloved items, a window began to open onto our souls. Did you make a list? I hope so. If you did, what do the objects of your affection reveal about the health of your soul? Well, that was last week. This week, we have a new list to compile. These beliefs I have outgrown. Now, just sit with that for a second. What does that mean? I tell you, when I first heard it, a sort of chill ran through me. You know, these beliefs I have outgrown. A chill ran through me because I thought of all those things that I've done over the course of my life out of a sense of great certainty. And now as I look back on the justification for my actions, I feel a coldness in my heart. And I can't really explain it. Do you know the old line, the longer I live, the less I know? Well, that could be my line. You know, I was all about certainty. I used to think certainty was a good thing. I used to find it reassuring. I used to think it was a sign of maturity. But now I don't think that way any longer. I've seen too many evils committed in the name of certainty. Now, I now prefer a little gray, you know, in my life. Good thing, huh? Okay. Anyway, so that is where I would start my list this morning. I have outgrown the belief that I have it all figured out. What beliefs have you outgrown? In the church, we talk a lot about belief. It seems to be one of those church words and ideas. After all, it feels so theological, And do you remember the ancient creeds of the church? Do you remember how they begin? They begin with these words, I believe. The Greek word, verb, from which we get the noun faith, is derived from the verb pistuo, which is translated, I believe. The church has traditionally asked catechumens questions like, what do you believe? Or, do you believe this? So we don't tend to, in the church, to think in terms of outgrowing beliefs. Instead, we think of growing into them and then nurturing them. It's really an odd question, I think, to be pondered in church. What beliefs have you outgrown? Or is it? Okay. At one point, the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth advocating for unity in the body of Christ. He has heard about the disharmony in the body there, and he writes in an attempt to bring peace. Evidently, the spiritual gifts that some in the community possess are seen by those possessing them as gifts or marks of spiritual superiority. In other words, God has given me this gift, and that makes me better than you. Now, I don't know why, but I've always found an odd sense of comfort and even hope in this. You see, the church now, I understand, the church has always been divided. It's always been divided. It's always been comprised of folks with varied and maybe contradictory opinions. And there have never been good old days. And look, the church has survived 2,000 years, hadn't it? That gives me hope. Okay, anyway. Ever since First United Methodist Church of Corinth opened its doors there, there has always been room for a little more wisdom in the church. Paul writes to the administrative council there, as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. These beliefs I have outgrown. What beliefs have you outgrown? Do you remember Jesus' Sermon on the Mount? It's found in chapter 5 through chapter 7. In that sermon, Jesus makes some remarkable statements that should give us pause. For example, Jesus said, you have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. It was said to those. Huh. Where is it said to those? How about Exodus 20, verse 13, or Deuteronomy 5, 17? You know, the Ten Commandments. Now, you would think that's pretty straightforward stuff. You've heard that it was said, you shall not murder. And then Jesus goes on and says, but I say to you. What? What's going on here? But? You've heard it said, but? Jesus uses an adversative conjunction here. And then later he says, you've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, again, you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely. But I say to you, then you've heard it said an eye for an eye. But I say to you, you've heard it said you shall love your neighbor. But I say to you, these beliefs I've outgrown. What's going on here? What's Jesus talking about? First he says, do not think that I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. And then he says, you've heard that it was said in the law. But I say to you. Well, which is it, Jesus? Well, we've talked about this many times in Bible studies across the years, that it's not really so much about outgrowing beliefs. That's not really going on here, as it is about going deeper into belief. And maybe that's it. Maybe we can extrapolate from this the idea of moving beyond carefully circumscribed beliefs that threaten a healthy understanding of life and faith, you know, moving out of certainty, and into that life-giving gray continuum called grace. I call it grace because I've seen it time and time again across the years. It's usually during one of those wonderful conversations that we have in small group settings like Bible studies or covenant groups. It's that gift of an aha moment. You know, when folks suddenly realize that they can let something go, that that's okay. You know, baggage that they've carried around for years. Maybe it's the distrust of those who don't look like they look or who think or worship in ways that they don't. Maybe they come to realize that they don't have to be afraid of the other or try to change them. They just have to learn to value them because God values them. And maybe this is not an outgrowing of a belief. Maybe it's just an expanding of the heart. But whatever it is, it's liberating. It's a gift. And it leads to a deeper life of faith. Okay. You know, I always hear the lament that our young people are leaving the church and what can we do about it? You know, what are we going to do about that? Well, I think that one reason that we don't retain more of our young people in the church is that we don't trust them with uncertainty or doubt or change. You know, we don't seem to understand that they're going to find all this uncertainty and doubt, and they're going to want change, whether or not we tell them about it or not. And so when they come to find out all this stuff, they leave. They're going to leave, and they're going to feel like they've been had. And no one likes to be had. So I think we need to tell them that it's okay to leave some beliefs behind. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought this way. But when I became an adult, I gave up that way of thinking. Okay, we need to wrap this up. So what does this mean? What does all this mean? What does it mean to outgrow beliefs? Well, maybe it means this. If I speak in tongues of mortal and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I'm nothing. And now, belief, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love. In other words, if I cling so tightly to my beliefs and the certainty that they promote, that the love of God that was breathed into me in that first breath is expelled from me, then it's time to move on beyond that. Because love subsumes all of the beliefs. Now remember, central to our faith tradition, central to the ministry of Jesus, is the idea that it's okay to change. Not only is it okay to change, but it's encouraged. We call it repentance. And it just may lead us deeper into our baptismal and membership covenant as we attempt to, quote, renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of our sin. To resist evil, injustice, and oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves. Friends, maybe we should reword DeMello's statement for today. Maybe instead of "these beliefs I have outgrown," it should be posed as a question. Which of my beliefs is the love of God calling me to leave behind? Okay. Take the time, make the list, and remember, we don't gather here because we're whole, that we've got it all together. No, we gather because we're broken, and it's called grace. And the fact that we're on this journey is a good sign, I think. Jesus said, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Friends, we got to keep moving. We got to keep moving. Jesus said, I came that we may have life and have it abundantly. That's good news. So let's go. Thanks be to God. Amen.